Today's reading is from Matthew 22, 8 through 14. Please turn to Matthew 22, 8 through 14 in your Bible, or turn to page 803 in the Bibles provided. Then he, Jesus, said to his servants, "The wedding banquet is ready, but those I invited did not deserve to come. So go to the street corners and invite to the banquet anyone you find." So the servants went out into the streets and gathered all the people they could find, the bad as well as the good, and the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to see the guests, he noticed a man there who was not wearing wedding clothes. He asked, "How did you get in here without wedding clothes, friend?" The man was speechless. Then the king told the attendants, "Tie him hand and foot and throw him outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are invited, but few are chosen." You may be seated.
Before we begin this morning with our sermon, we're going to have Kurt and Kate come forward and share a little about their missions. Why don't you come on up? If you remember, it's probably been months now, but they told us about their missions and wheelchairs to Mexico. And so they're going to do a follow-up and tell us how things went.
That one's on.
Thank you, Doug.
And that one's on. There you go.
Good morning to you all. Thank you, Doug. We're here to give glory to God. He who heals the poor and the lame, he who answers prayers, he performs miracles today. Amen? Amen. Over 100 million people in the world are desperately in need of a wheelchair but cannot afford one. And God's faithful servants of Southeast Kansas acted as God's instruments, the hands and feet of Jesus, as we delivered 280 of those wheelchairs to families who were praying for their children and to receive that gift of mobility.
Through the donation members of this church gave last year, you helped answer prayers for 9 families and give them hope, dignity, freedom, and independence. Overall, you helped them to have a better quality of life for both the recipient and approximately 9 other family members. Grace Fellowship Church, along with other churches, businesses, and individuals, was with us in spirit in Merida, Mexico on February 2nd, 2023, as we acted on Christ's behalf, relieving the burden for parents of carrying a child through life and opening up opportunities for them to attend school, for the parents to provide more food, better housing, clothing, and the necessities for the family.
The first time we did this, as a matter of fact, every time we do this, we are reminded of why we are so passionate about helping the people who need these wheelchairs. So here we are again, back at working to raise funds for another wheelchair delivery. We are praying we can do it again in 2024. God continues to speak to our hearts, telling us to continue his work on earth. So we are happy to announce today that we will be hosting the second annual Hearts of Fire charity event on September 9th, 2023, once again at the beautiful and rustic Woodshed Ranch, just south of Edna, Kansas.
We want to encourage you to come be a part of that special evening, where people from our surrounding communities come together to celebrate their blessings while blessing others. We'd love for you to join us for a full evening of great food, fun, and fellowship. Highlights of the evening will be Jana Jay, world-renowned blue fiddle player and musical star from that old television show Hee Haw, if you ever saw that. She's awesome. And plus, our major headliner is Susie McIntyre, award-winning country music star, and yes, she is the sister of Reba McIntyre. Some of you attended last year, and we'd love to see more of you there this year. Every dollar that we raise, every dollar that you pay for a table or a seat, or that you donate, goes directly to wheelchairs. Besides our Hearts of Fire event, please remember that each wheelchair only costs $150. So you can change a family's life with that small amount. If you'd like to know more about the various ways you can help our ministry do God's work on earth, please visit our website, godsfaithfulservants.org. And we've got some materials up by the entrance of the church. If you'd like to take some with you, it's got all our contact information. We've got a newsletter that we'd be happy for you to read and take. We'll be back by that entrance at the church to answer any questions that you may have.
In closing, we'd like to offer this short prayer from Max Lucado, one of our favorite theological authors. Will you pray with me? Loving Father, you made me, so you know very well that I am but dust. Yet you have called me into your kingdom to serve you at this specific place, at this specific time, for a very specific purpose. Despite my ordinariness, I belong to you, and you are anything but ordinary. Help me pour out your grace and compassion upon others, that they too may experience the richness of your love. Through me, my Father, show others how you can use an ordinary life to bring extraordinary blessings into the world. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.
Well, thank you so much for being here today. Now, so you're going to be in the back, right? Yes. And so the next event is September 9th?
September 9th.
Okay, so you'll contact me before, and we'll schedule another time to come over the summer, and you can promote that, and we'd love to have you back again.
Thank you so much, Doug.
Thank you.
And we look forward to talking to you all about anything, not just about our event. Thank you.
Thank you. So in our society, we have numerous celebrity pastors, and there's nothing wrong with that. Now, I will say, sometimes they mess up. And if you're a celebrity pastor and you mess up, everybody knows about it. And you know whose fault that is sometimes? It's ours, because we make them celebrities. Now, there was a guy in this video, and I caught his name. It was David Jones. It's a pretty generic name. But I've never heard of this David Jones. I'll probably never meet this David Jones. This David Jones will never be on the cover of Life magazine, let alone a picture of him in the newspaper. But come judgment day, when the Lord reveals all and who that we are, he possibly may stand head and shoulders above many celebrity pastors. Not because he's better, smarter, more spiritual, because God often sees things that we don't. He is not against celebrity pastors, but God doesn't honor them the way we do. And people like that David Jones and other people there in the kingdom of God, say this term with tongue in cheek, are celebrity believers. And you know what I mean by that. In the heart of God, they are sought after. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we come before you this morning, we thank you for the ministry of Hearts of Fire, for lives that are changed, things that in our country we would just take for granted, yet there are a blessing. These people truly are at the bottom of the totem pole, the bottom of the barrel. No one seems to, at times, care for them. And often those who do care for them can't do anything about it. And yet, Lord, you provide in your gracious way, and we thank you that you would do that. In your holy name, amen and amen. So we're going to talk a little bit about the lifestyles of the rich and famous. We're in the book of Matthew. And the setting, it is before Easter Sunday, so we're kind of going back in time. It is what's called the Passion Week, which is Latin for the week of suffering. So Jesus rides into town as a celebrity. And that soon seems to change. He goes to the temple, and it's called the cleansing of the temple. They're selling sacrifices there. But Jesus said, this is to be a house of prayer, not a place of commerce. They should be doing the commerce other places. It's needed, but this is not the place. And not only were they selling in the inappropriate place, they were gouging the customers. And so then the religious leaders, instead of understanding this and joining Jesus, who days before was a celebrity, they question by what authority he has to do these things. And so he gives them parables, explaining to them the kingdom of God and who his authority is. So we begin in Matthew 22, verse 1. Jesus spoke to them again in parables, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who prepared a wedding banquet for his son. This would be referring to God the Father, and it's referencing Jesus Christ, his son. They might not know this at first, but it'll become evident, as it was in last week's parable, that it's quite obvious who he's talking about. He sent his servants to those who've been invited to the banquet, tell them to come. He's inviting their people. This would be the Jews themselves, all of Israel. But they refused to come. Now, when I grew up in a small town in North Dakota, when someone had a wedding, they always had a wedding dance. And it was just the town party. Everybody went to the wedding dance. And I loved it. I mean, who would turn down such a fun time? Dancing and hanging out? And here the king is inviting everyone. It's not just a simple wedding dance. It's a banquet. The king is inviting. And he's inviting his fellow people. They would be the best and the brightest. And it would seem odd that they would refuse. Listening to the parable, they would say, people don't do that. Do they? Then he sent more servants and said, tell those who have been invited, I have prepared my dinner. The king is gracious. It's like, well, maybe they didn't get the point. He's given a second opportunity. He's a God. He is a king of second chances. And so he's going to sweeten the pot. Let me tell them what I'm doing. My oxen and fatted cattle have been butchered, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding banquet. I mean, this is it, the big banquet. The kingdom of God is at hand. The best, the choicest is being brought out. This isn't seconds. This isn't a low-end party. This is a first-class banquet. In today's terms, it would be a white tablecloth. I've been to some of these restaurants. I could say I haven't ordered. They have a filet mignon, and there's no price. It says market. I have kids. One's in college. When there's no price, I don't buy anything. I want to know what I'm buying for what it costs. But, you know, in those high-end steaks and meats, they say market prices. Where's the market at today? You know, their wine, their champagne is over $1,000 a bottle. It is the best. Verse 5. But they paid no attention and went off. one to his field, another to his business. They ignore it again. You have to understand, this borders on the absurd. The people listening would be like, okay, this isn't normal. This isn't right. There must be a point to this because nobody would turn this down. Imagine if you won the lottery, a couple hundred million, and you said, nah, I'll pass. Who would turn that down? Imagine if you lived in Britain and it's Queen Elizabeth. Everybody loved Queen Elizabeth. Even people from other countries. And if she invited her British citizens to her birthday party, and they'd say, nah, we got Netflix and Downton Abbey. No, every citizen would go. This is absurd. It doesn't make any sense. And now, the rest seized his servants, mistreated them, and killed them. Okay, this is even more bizarre. It's actually insane and ridiculous. You're going to turn down the lottery. You're going to turn down the invite from the queen. Okay, that's one thing. Now you're going to beat up the messenger? And this is referring to last week's the tenants of the vineyard, because he sent his son, and then they killed the messengers and then the son. These people are rejecting the son. They're rejecting the messengers, the prophets. This is their historical past. Killed and harassed them. And the king was enraged, and he sent his army and destroyed those murderers and burned their cities. This would be referring to Israel is carried off in 722 to the north. Israel's carried off by the Assyrians in 586. Judah, the southern tribes of Israel, is carried off to the Babylonians. This isn't quid pro quo revenge. This is justice, consequences to sin. And then he said to his servants, the wedding banquet is ready, but those I invited did not deserve to come. Imagine a grandfather and a grandmother having a family reunion, inviting all their family, and they said no. And it's all set up. All the food is out. All the entertainment is paid for. And the people are too busy thinking, there'll be another reunion. There'll be another banquet. Tomorrow. When there is no other banquet. This is the one time you were invited. So, the king says, go to the street corners and invite to the banquet anyone you find. Again, really? Who does that? Can you imagine a king? Could you imagine the queen? All these people didn't come to my banquet. Go down to that street where the beggars are. Go to that red light district and invite them. I mean, could you imagine a celebrity, you know, those celebrity birthday parties that you see on TV, and the biggest stars come in, and the cameras, and the lights flash, you know, and it's just a big who showed up, you know, the rich and famous, who's all here? And people didn't come, so they just invited you and me. Could you see the paparazzi? Who's that? I've never seen that guy before. And that couple, I mean, he's wearing jeans. No celebrity would do that. Can you imagine the lottery? If someone turned that down, they go, oh, let's just go find someone in the street and give it to them. No, they would save it and keep it for the next round. They just wouldn't give it away. Could you imagine a high-end restaurant? You know, one of those where the celebrities go to eat. where they don't have glasses of water. They have bottled water, and they're $20 a bottle. And a cup of coffee is $30. And, you know, it helps to speak French when you order to understand what you're getting. And, you know, some people, and it's funny because I know people who know people. When they go to restaurants, they say, let me speak to the chef. I go, who's the fry cook tonight? Fred or George? Or Martha have to fill in? Is your grease at $3.50? But they go, oh, I'd like to speak to the chef. Okay, and then let's say nobody showed up. They just wouldn't open the doors to you and me. Believe me, they wouldn't do that. So what is the king doing? Where is this going? The king's banquet was for everyone. And it even surprised people because it was for the bottom of the barrel. You've heard the term scraping the bottom of the barrel, getting the last of it out. So the servants went out to the streets and gathered all the people they could find. The bad. Okay. This wasn't a good crowd. As well as the good. Those from the wrong side of the tracks, those from the right side of the tracks. And the wedding hall was filled with guests. Now this was an eclectic banquet. You know, our Statue of Liberty harkens back to this. It recites these words. Give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to burn, to breathe free. They went into the streets and got the riffraff. Guys like this to the banquet. Could you imagine him going to a celebrity restaurant where Tom Cruise and Sandra Bullock eating? Probably not. But when the king came to see the guests, this strange group, it gets a little strange. He noticed a man there who was not wearing the wedding clothes. So they probably put on a nice robe when they came in to identify that they are the ones chosen for the banquet now. He asked, how did you get into here without wedding clothes? And he calls him friend. The man was speechless. And I think the issue is, it's a little difficult, is that people were invited and they were refused. People were invited and they came. But some kind of thought they could do it on their own terms and do what they want and somehow deserve to be there. And the king's like, no, you're invited. You can't do it on your own. This is all grace. So the king told the attendants, tie them hand and foot and throw them outside into the darkness. Just like earlier, there's judgment, where there'll be a weeping and gnashing of teeth. Weeping and gnashing of teeth represents hell, judgment. You know, and you have to admit, our society laughs at the idea of hell. It's something you bring up at Halloween. It's a scare tactic. And you know, people who often love Jesus don't like the idea of hell. The problem is Jesus talked about hell and the consequences of sin more than he talked about heaven. To Jesus Christ, hell was very real and warned against its absolute reality and certainty. And that guy thought he could get on his own merit. He can't. It's the grace of the invite of the king. And for those that refused, there is judgment. And then he closes with this. For many are invited, but few are chosen. This verse taken out of context, sometimes people think it refers to ministry or to pastors. It's talking about salvation. It is the linchpin of this parable. Now, many are invited. Really, it's kind of a idiom for everyone was invited. Remember how it says, the bad, the poor, the good. Everyone. God invites us all into his kingdom. God is the epitome of our Statue of Liberty. It took money to build that statue. It took people of means and wealth. And yet then who does it call out to? Give me your poor, your tired. Everyone. Often the ones we wouldn't think of. But few are chosen. And here's the thing. Depending on your theology, some people think God predestines. But I think it's more open than that. Everyone's invited. And they're chosen to come to the banquet if they accept the invitation. You're not chosen if you refuse. You're not chosen if you think you can get in on your own. It is reflective of salvation. We are all saved by the grace of God. You cannot do it yourself. God is all about works. He needs us to work. Nothing happens without hard work and money. But hard work and money without prayer and grace will get you nowhere. And it's because of His grace and His mercy that we should respond with hard works and money. Not because somehow we think it buys us our position. The entrance to this banquet is not based on a bribery at the door or your past works. And past works are important. They were based on, do you simply respond to the invite and say, I'm yours, Lord. I'm here for you. And then the question is, in this story, who are all these people? Who are they? Look who the king went out to. The analogy first to the Pharisees and religious leaders would be, he went to Israel first. There were his people, the chosen people from back in the Old Testament. But they refused. And even back in the Old Testament, God was opening the door to everyone. When Solomon dedicates the temple in some 900 BC, he's dedicating to God, the temple. And he goes, Lord, when the foreigner comes and prays, they're anticipating other nations, other people coming to worship God. And now with the coming of Christ, the door even opens more. And what's sad is many of the Jews and the Israelites who should know better refuse the Messiah. So he'll take them all. The Jew who believes, the Gentile who believes, the barbarian. The Greeks and Romans called anyone who couldn't read and write their Latin or Greek, they called them barbarians. The Gentiles, any of those who come. There's nothing wrong with being a celebrity pastor. There's nothing wrong with being smart. There's nothing wrong with having money. The problem is when you think that's a reflection of God endorsing you. You see, I have things. God must like me. I must be doing it right. And this guy, he's doing it all wrong. Now, I work with people like this, and some of them really do make bad decisions. And I'm telling you, they keep making bad decisions. And it's very frustrating. Some of them didn't. And I'll tell you, but for the grace of God, there be you and I. I can think of some of the stupid decisions I made. And I could have ended up there. But God reaches His hand down to all of us. The smart, the not so smart, the rich, the poor. You see, the problem isn't money. The problem is what we do with it. We think that is our salvation. When Jesus said, it's easier for a camel to go through an eye of a needle than a rich man. We often think that's kind of a parable, it's a metaphor, but it's actually quite literal. It would be that hard for a big camel to get through that little hole. It isn't a metaphor, it's literal, because it can't be done. Because if you put your faith, if you put your your hope in your celebrity status and your money, it ain't going to happen. It's all grace. God invites us all, but we have to accept the invitation. It's nothing we have earned. God is the king of this banquet. Jesus Christ is his son. He invites everyone. I mean, look at this. So the servant went out into the streets and gathered all the people they could find, the bad as well as the good. You know, just because you're a good person, if you have money, if you have wealth, doesn't mean God is against you. It's your heart and it's your attitude. There are holy people with money who are more holy than some people who are poor. Some people who are poor are more greedy than the rich. It's just easier to get caught up in wealth than poverty. I mean, what would you rather get caught up in, poverty or wealth? But you know, the Proverbs say, Lord, don't make me so poor that I steal, but don't make me so rich that I forget you. Sometimes the very thing we want would take us away from Christ. So the servants went on the streets and gathered all the people they could find, the bad as well as the good. And the wedding hall was filled with many guests, the unworthy. You see, they're all unworthy. We're all unworthy of the banquet. When God calls us, Lord, let us choose you. Let us accept your invitation. You know, I'd say this. They came as they were to the banquet. Come as you are to Jesus. But I got to give you the full story. Don't expect to stay that way. Because when God gets a hold of you, he will shake up your life. He will. Things will get shaken up. And sometimes that's scary. You see, we're all like a bunch of kids playing in the mud. And mom and dad are going to call us in and hose us off with the water hose, you know. And we're like, ooh, let's wipe some of the mud off so we don't look so bad. Why would you wash up before the shower? You can't do it. We're all the bottom of the barrel. It's easy to think he is. But compared to God, we're all where he is. Some people have said or thought, I've gone too far. I've done too much. God would never accept me. That is never the issue. The issue is, will you accept his invite? His hand will reach down to all of us. There's nothing that can separate us from the love of God except our own stubbornness. Today is the day for all of us. Maybe for some it's a huge issue, and for some it's just little things that we refuse to give to the Lord. We refuse to hand over. But today is the day that we give it all to God, that we accept his invitation, and we say, it's by your grace that I'm here, and we fully understand that. It's been a while since I mentioned this, but I remember a lady, and she made a comment. And you know, you look back on some of these things in your life, Lord, I missed this opportunity. And I wonder where she is, because she made the comment, if I walk through the church of a door, lightning would probably strike me. She felt she had crossed some line that could keep her from God in the church. And I would like to tell her, no, lightning won't strike you, but the grace of God will. And it's because you understand your past that you need to realize you need the Lord. And to come in rather than avoid the banquet. Let us choose this day to walk in the love and grace of Jesus Christ as he reaches his hand down to us. Not because we're deserving, but because of his grace. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we look to you, Lord, let us realize our own need, our deep need for you. All of us, Father. Lord, let us turn our hearts to you. Let us accept your invitation. Lord, let us be your people. And for those who are struggling, Lord, let their hearts be open to you. Let your Holy Spirit wash them anew and encourage them in the Holy Spirit to be followers of Jesus Christ. We pray this in your holy name. Amen.